From the heartland of America and the gateway to the West, good morning, good evening, wherever you may be across the nation, around the world. I'm George Norrie. This is Coast to Coast AM. In a moment, Doc Wallach joins us from criticalhealthnews.com. Let's get a jump start on his website, criticalhealthnews.com. Slam it for me. And here's the toll-free number to call for assistance, 1-855-949-7234. Doc Wallach next with your calls later tonight on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast. We've got a wonderful couple hours for you tonight. As a matter of fact, we've got a great show for you tonight. Dr. Joel Wallach back with us. His research has resulted in the publication of a number of peer-reviewed and refereed journal articles in the field of nutrition and pharmaceutical research. He heads up criticalhealthnews.com, which has just helped so many people in their health matters. And Doc Wallach, welcome back, my friend.
Well, thank you, George. As usual, you get an A+, so you're always ahead of everybody else. I really appreciate all you do.
COVID is sneaking back up again. What the heck is going on?
Okay, well, everybody mistakenly believes that vaccines kill the virus. Vaccines do not kill viruses, bacteria, fungus, or yeast. They just alert your immune system to the bad DNA and RNA in the bug. So when you get vaccinated, your immune system has to be in good enough shape to respond, okay, when you get vaccinated. So your body recognizes the bad guy when he shows up. And so when you're seeing all this ramping up of new infections and more deaths, it's because our immune system is not able to respond because it's dead. Our immune system is dead. Okay, why is our immune system dead? Because people eat gluten, wheat, barley, rye, and oatmeal for breakfast every morning. They have bread, wheat, pancakes, waffles, flour tortillas, spaghetti, chicken noodle soup, everything you can think of. Wheat is the breakfast of champions, beer made from wheat, whiskey made from rye, and so on. And so their intestines are dead, and there's very little nutrition in our food. The plants do not make minerals. Nutritional minerals do not occur in a uniform blank around the crust of the earth. They occur in veins like gold and silver. And so the only way you're going to guarantee you're going to get the benefit from the vaccine is to take the 90 essential nutrients. And when you take the 90 essential nutrients, your body responds. Your white blood cells get made properly. Your immune system makes antibodies. So when virus, the COVID-19 or any virus, smallpox, chickenpox, syphilis, HIV, your body sends out all the army and the Marines in the form of white blood cells and antibodies to go kill and eat the viruses and bacteria. But vaccines do not kill viruses, bacteria, fungus, or yeast. They just alert your immune system to the bad DNA and RNA. They're just an alarm system, okay? And everybody mistakenly believes that it kills the bugs. Doesn't do that.
It doesn't do it. Doc, back here in Missouri, where you used to work at the St. Louis Zoo, of course, they are working on legislation to protect doctors who prescribe ivermectin or hydrochloroquine because they don't want them to lose their license. And apparently the doctors are afraid that they could. But that looks like they're going to pass this bill and give the doctors, prevent law enforcement from doing anything to them or losing their doctor's license.
You know, ivermectin, of course, is a cream that's used on horses for external parasites, lice and things like that. But it also kills viruses. And so there's so many, before they were allowing little kids to be vaccinated, you could use the ivermectin horse cream, if you will, on kids, and it would do a good job of protecting them against the virus. And so I have a shelf in my little cupboard. I have about 20 of the tubes of the ivermectin in case anybody in our family, gets COVID or gets exposed to it. So I know ivermectin has a lot of research on it. It was approved for human beings for external parasites like lice, head lice, many years ago. So it's been approved by the FDA for use for external parasites. So it's not like the FDA is not familiar with it for human use. So for them to say they don't know anything about it in humans, that's not true.
What makes it so powerful to kill off parasites and viruses?
Well, it's the chemistry, okay? It's the recipe in the ivermectin, okay? It's a recipe, and it's not complicated. It's very simple. There's two, there's two chemicals in there that will kill lice and ticks and that sort of stuff, but it just so happens that it also kills viruses, which they didn't...
They didn't plan on that, did they?
They didn't plan on that, and so that was just sort of a plus. And it's one of those things where, what can I say, you take advantage of those things when they pop up because they can save lives. And, of course, when you look at the world, I look at the world about four times a day when it comes to COVID-19. We have 84 million infections in the United States. We have 1,028,000 dead. Our next biggest one, second to the United States, is India. They have five times the population we have. They have 1.3 billion people. We only have 332 million. And in India, they only have 43 million infections, about half the number of infections we have. And they only have 566,000 dead. They have half the dead we have. And they have five times the population. Okay? And that's because they get these minerals, okay, to support their immune system because of their diet. They have a lot of volcanoes and things like that. So the volcanic ash is full of these minerals, which they use for fertilizer. It's in the water they drink and so forth. They, on the coastal communities in India, they eat a lot of seaweed, kind of like the Asians. And so even though they're the second largest producers of wheat, gluten, they have enough mineral nutrition to support their immune system. So they have half the number of infections we have. They have five times the population. They have half the number of dead we have, and it drops off very quickly after that. The next biggest one is Germany. Next biggest one is the UK. The next biggest one is Spain. And why is that? Well, that's because they all live on gluten, wheat, barley, rye, and oats. Their intestines are dead, and they don't have a history of or a proactive way to supplement with minerals to support their immune system. So that's why the countries that are historically gluten eaters have such a high rate of COVID infections and deaths.
One of the problems with people taking ivermectin is they've been taking the horse dose. A horse is 1,500 pounds. A human's 150 to 200 pounds generally. I mean, but they've been taking the horse amount, and they've been getting sick. So you need to be careful with that.
Yeah. And, of course, you know, I always say, you know, if it says, you know, for a horse, which is 800 to 1,000 pounds, and you give a dose, you weigh 100 pounds, you know, just take one-tenth or a quarter of the dose. I mean, this is not difficult.
I mean, the ivermectin paste alone is not going to hurt you. It just depends on the quantity you take, right?
Well, you can drink too much water and kill yourself.
Well, that's true, too. How does that happen?
Well, when you drink too much water, you dilute all your nutrients. You can't even get oxygen out of your hemoglobin and your red blood cells when you drink too much water.
You suffocate, basically?
You suffocate.
Oh, my God. How much water is too much water, Doc?
Well, let's see here. I would say for an average-sized adult, you know, 125 to 150 pounds, if you drink a couple of gallons of water a day, it's too much. Okay, a quart a day is about right.
We're going to take your call soon with Doc Wallach from CriticalHealthNews.com this half hour and also next hour as well. Tom is going to take your text and tweets as well. His website is CriticalHealthNews.com. You're still doing your Friday live Zoom event?
Oh, yes. Yeah, Rebecca does a great job. And, of course, we have a huge following on those 2 hours, you know, and we let them know that it's the George Norrie Show. And so we have a great following. And I do have to tell you that we figured out how to prevent so many diseases. We have figured out how to get rid of things like diabetes. I don't care if you've had diabetes for 40 years. In 2 to 6 weeks, I can get rid of it. You have high blood pressure. You're on dialysis. I have people who are on dialysis 6 days a week. They haven't urinated in 10 years. In 2 weeks' time, they're urinating. They drop it down to 3 days a week, and in two more weeks, they're not on dialysis anymore. And, you know, we take people who have irritable bowel syndrome, supposed to be an autoimmune disease, get off of gluten, take the 90 essential nutrients, and in 2 weeks' time, you don't have irritable bowel syndrome anymore. I get you to lose a half a pound to 2 pounds a day drinking one of our shakes, one meal a day. It's a meal replacer. You'll lose a half a pound to 2 pounds a day. You don't need to have a surgery, a bypass surgery to lose weight. And because of this, George. Doctors have changed their lingo. They used to say everything, you know, like lupus is autoimmune. They say things are autoimmune. They're genetic. They don't say that anymore because I proved there are no autoimmune diseases. I proved there's no genetic disease. I'm the guy that got rid of cystic fibrosis. I'm the guy that got rid of muscular dystrophy. Gave it to Jerry Lewis. The Muscular Dystrophy Foundation, after 50 years, fired Jerry Lewis, okay, and he made them $2.7 billion.
He was doing a great job for them.
Yeah.
God rest his soul.
Raised $2.7 billion. They fired him because he brought them 10 of our charts, which show we cured kids of muscular dystrophy because it's a simple nutritional deficiency disease. So now medical doctors have changed everything from autoimmune diseases and genetic diseases to now they're going to the metabolic syndrome, which is high blood pressure, diabetes, obesity, because they know I'll get them because they've missed it by 1,000 miles.
Doc, you see these television commercials for pharmaceutical-grade medicines, and then at the end they have this disclaimer. And I saw one a couple nights ago that was horrendous. I mean, this is the disclaimer. They said you could have a stroke. This is from the medicine now. Mm-hmm. You could have a stroke. You could have a heart attack. Your kidneys could fail. And I'm listening to this going, what the heck? Who would want to buy something like that with those risks out there?
Exactly. Well, I have to tell you, the same thing is true when it comes to very simple things. You have to appreciate that, for instance, when it comes to something like MS, multiple sclerosis. Do you know, George, multiple sclerosis is diagnosed in 400,000 people in the United States, 400,000.
That's a lot of people.
That's a lot of people. And we spend, through insurance, just for pharmaceuticals to relieve the symptoms of MS in these 400,000 people, $85 billion a year. $85 billion a year just to relieve symptoms.
That's amazing.
It leaves you speechless. Okay, so I'm working on that. I figure by the end of this year, I'll have all the evidence to prove that the disease called MS, multiple sclerosis, is just a slight variation on osteoporosis of the skull. Because when you look at all of the symptoms and all of the diseases that occur when you have osteoporosis of the skull, there's 25 of them. Those same 25 diseases occur when you have MS. Okay, I think they're the same disease. And so we're working on that. And so MS, which is supposed to be an autoimmune disease, they spend $85 billion. The U.S. government came out with this just a couple of weeks ago. They spend $85 billion a year just for symptom relief.
That is crazy. Hey, I had a story before you came on, and you're a veterinarian, about cats, mm-hmm. that they're much smarter than people think.
Oh, what? Yeah. That's why they have 9 lives.
That's right. They're kind of cagey. Are they smarter than dogs?
I think they are. I think they are. And, of course, I have to go back to one of the things you said just a few minutes ago about these warnings. Walmart, on their bags of potato chips, came out with a warning. They said, this is on the front label on their potato chips, Walmart. This just came out a couple of days ago. It says, I think they have 4 warnings, and the fourth one it says, people who eat these chips are exposed to corn oil, heated corn oil for frying the chips.
Oh, my gosh.
Heated, canola oil, heated sunflower seed oil, which create, which create acrylamides, which create cancer. That's on the front label of Walmart's potato chips now.
Unbelievable. Doc, stay with us. We're going to come back in just a moment. And if you want to participate in Doc's Friday events, it's in the morning on Fridays. The site is Ask Doc Live, DOC, AskDocLive.com for that. And full information at CoastToCoastAM.com's CriticalHealthNews.com that you will see. And again, the toll-free number to call for help and assistance, 1-855-949-7234, 1-855-949-RADIO. That's all you have to do. And there are experts there listening to Doc who will give advice to you when we start taking calls. But if you miss it, maybe you're driving, maybe you're in bed and you can't write these down, just call these people and say, you know, I was one of the callers and this is my symptoms, and they've got all the notes. But we'll be back with your calls and Doc Wallach next on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with you, along with Doc Wallach from CriticalHealthNews.com. Doc, you've got a great staff behind you. I had to get a hold of them a few weeks ago for a friend of mine who needed some help and assistance. And, I mean, they were just marvelous. They really are.
Yes, I'm very proud of them. And they do it for you, and they do it for literally thousands of people every week.
They don't stop, do they?
No, they don't stop. And they've been working with me for, some of them, 30 years.
30 years?
Yes, sir.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, and these are people who, like I say, they have high school educations. They don't have any medical training, but they have read every one of my books and listened to many, many of my lectures, and they know what to do with each of the longevity products. And so when somebody calls in with a health challenge, they know exactly what to do. And we have, you know, what should I say, helped millions of people in 80 different countries. I'm so very proud of them.
What got you into the supplement field?
Okay. In the beginning, and it's a short thing, I was a veterinary student, didn't have a lot of money. And so it was Christmas of 1963. I was working in the pathology department to make money to pay the tuition and everything and pay my room rent and so forth. All the teachers went on vacation. And a farmer came and dumped 50 dead sheep on me. And said, the night before, my 500 sheep were beautiful. I fed them. They were all happy. This morning, they were all dead. Overnight, 500 died in one night. And so it took me about 3 days, but I figured out the neighbor was using a lot of nitrate fertilizers for his hay because they get paid by tons and bushels. So they were pouring on the fertilizer, and it went into the pond where the sheep were drinking their water, and they were polluted. But usually when you have a pollution thing, one will die tonight, and a week later, two will die, and so forth. So why did 500 die in one night? Well, just on a lark, I checked with the weather department, and in central Missouri, where that farm was, the temperature dropped from 50 degrees down to 19 that night, and they all died from hypothermia because their thyroids were dead because of the pollution that had been drinking that water for 6 weeks. Okay? And so I've got it published. It was published in 1965. At the time, I was just leaving to go to Africa to work on the White Rhino Conservation Project. That was my first postdoctoral fellowship. And 2 years into it, Marlon Perkins from the old Mutual Mohawk show, yeah. I had worked for him. He writes me a letter and said, look, I used your paper on the mass die-off from pollution to get a $25 million grant from NIH to study zoo animals looking for a canary in the mine to find a zoo animal that's sensitive to the same pollutants as humans are. So when they would die in the zoo, we knew to evacuate the cities. And I used your paper to get the $25 million grant. So I want you to be the pathologist on the project. So I came back, and in 10 years, I did 20,000 autopsies, 475 species of animals, 17,000 animals and 3,000 human beings from Barnes Hospital there in St. Louis.
Oh, yeah. Great hospital, by
yep.
the way.
And got that published by W.B. Saunders, big medical textbook publishing house. It was 5,000 pages. They edited it down to 1,200 pages, and it sells for $25,000 each. Now, nobody is going to buy a $25,000 book, George, for a home remedy. So we came up with a summary of that, a 300-page book called Epigenetics. And epigenetics, it turns out, has replaced the science of genetics. And I'm considered one of the founding fathers of the science of epigenetics because they showed with those 20,000 autopsies, there were no genetic diseases, there were no autoimmune diseases, there were all these diseases killing all these animals and people were just simple nutritional deficiency diseases. And this is where all this started. And so then I went from there after that 10 years. I went to the Yerkes Primate Center working with NASA as one of their pathologists, and I ran into the first I'm sure they hadn't before, but I recognized that it was cystic fibrosis, which is a birth defect in humans, and one of their monkeys were going to send into space. And so I sent slides. I didn't tell them it was from a monkey, but I sent slides from the tissues, the lungs and the liver and the kidneys and the pancreas to five medical schools, and they all came back and said, well, this is classic cystic fibrosis. And I said, okay, that's what I thought. Then I told them it was all from a monkey, and I said, at least I think we have some monkeys that would be study animals so we can learn more about cystic fibrosis. They were so excited. And then when I found out what caused it and all, I got the permission to do biopsies in all the 24 other baby monkeys. They all had cystic fibrosis. None of them related to each other, so it wasn't genetic. But a behaviorist said they were getting too much nutrition from their monkey pellets, so they took their monkey pellets away from them and just gave them bell peppers and carrots and onions and things like that.
Natural things.
Food, but they didn't have any nutrition in it. So all the babies wound up with cystic fibrosis. Got it published, and they fired me because they said it wasn't genetic. So that's when I went back to school and became a physician, and then I ran into muscular dystrophy. Of course, muscular dystrophy, we knew how to get rid of that in animals. It's a very simple nutritional deficiency disease in calves and sheep and pigs and turkeys and so forth. And so I started working with Jerry Lewis and one of our Marines, Marvin Ropp. He's a great guy. He lived in Idaho and Utah, and he was working with Jerry Lewis. And so we were curing, I'll use a cure, we were curing these kids with muscular dystrophy, and Jerry took a whole bunch of them. After 50 years of working with the Muscular Dystrophy Association, the telethon, he raised $2.7 billion for the Muscular Dystrophy Association. They fired Jerry Lewis because he said it's obvious it's not a genetic disease, simple nutritional deficiency disease. They fired Jerry Lewis, and that's why you haven't heard anything for 20 years.
Well, he was irreplaceable, and then he passed away.
Yeah, well, he died a year after they fired him.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm sure from a broken heart. And then we got a little bit of spinoff benefit because they figured out what was causing sudden death syndrome. Doctors were saying mothers were laying on the babies and suffocating them. And in 1990, when I figured all this out and got it published, in 1990, the rate of sudden death syndrome, SIDS, was 140 per 100,000 normal births in America. It amounted to about 3,000 dead babies a year in America from sudden death syndrome. Well, we started with petitions to the FDA. My great attorney, Jonathan Emord, we just hammered the FDA, and they had to agree, and they actually landed on my side. And so we started putting these nutrients into baby formulas. They were forced. The FDA forced Similac and Enfamil to put these nutrients in there. Before, for 25 years, doctors said all those nutrients will poison the babies, and so these companies were afraid to put them in there. But when the FDA said you got to put them in there, they put them in there. And within 6 months' time, we eliminated SID, sudden death syndrome. It dropped down to 15 to 20 per 100,000 births.
Went from cases plummeted.
To 15 to 20.
They plummeted, did they? Now now there's a shortage on infant formula for crying.
Right. Well, we have kind of a replacement. We have our kids toddy, our cherry mints, and the EFAs. Those three things together in goat's milk or cow's milk will be actually better than the infant formulas. But so we're selling about 1,500 doses or bottles and sets of this stuff for the kids. We're selling about 1,500 a week.
Wow.
Okay, because people, they're smart enough to realize these babies need these nutrients, and you can't. Women who are breastfeeding their babies, if they're eating gluten, it doesn't matter how many vitamins and minerals they're taking, their intestines are dead and they cannot absorb. So the mother's milk, the mother's breast milk, doesn't have the nutrients in it, and that's why they would die from sudden death syndrome.
Let's go to the calls for you, Doc. They're lining up, and we'll do this next hour as well. Tom will be texting texts and tweets too. First time caller, John in Las Vegas. Hey, John, welcome.
Hey, good afternoon or good evening, man. Doctor, I have this situation where on the bottom lip, my dermatologist called it some capillaries, and they're dark spots. I was just curious to find out what you would suggest I take to see if I couldn't get rid of them.
Okay, did he tell you what he thought caused it?
Did he say what, sir?
What he thought caused it, John?
No. He just called it venous leg capillaries.
Okay, capillaries, okay. Now, do you have any high blood pressure or diabetes?
I've been taking high blood pressure pills.
Okay, and do you have any bowel problems? Do you have any irritable bowel syndrome, diverticulitis, Crohn's disease, constipation, anything like that?
No, not at this time, no, doctor.
Okay, any respiratory stuff, asthma, bronchitis, COPD?
No.
Okay, good. How much do you weigh?
180.
Okay, so what I want you to do is get rid of all the bad foods so you can maximize absorption and reduce inflammation everywhere, okay, because your lips are just sort of like the tip of the thermometer, right? And so I want you to get rid of all the bad foods, no fried foods, no processed meats, absolutely no gluten, no wheat, no butter, rye, oats. There are no such things as gluten-free oats, no wheat, butter, rye, oats, no sugar, no carbonated drinks. Even the diet ones got to go because the carbonation in the diet drinks neutralize stomach acid, so you cannot absorb minerals or digest food. So at 180 pounds, I want you to have two or healthy brain and heart packs per month, two healthy brain and heart packs per month, a full dose of everything twice a day. I want you to take our MSM, two bottles of that, so you can take three at breakfast, three at lunch, three at dinner time, and they're designed to support and promote maintenance repair of cartilage, ligaments, tendons, connective tissue, disc between vertebrae, bone, rex, and bone itself. And the connective tissue includes skin, including your lips, okay? And then I want you to take our collagen peptides, take a scoop of that in your morning drink and a scoop of that in your evening drink, and, of course, that will support your immune system and your bone marrow. And then don't forget vitamin D3, three of those twice a day. And let's go there. And then because you're on high blood pressure medication, I want you to take our Ultimate Daily Classic tablets. Take three of those twice a day. That's two bottles a month. Do not cold turkey off your medication. But as your blood pressure drops, you can slowly reduce your medication based on the numbers. Usually within 2 to 6 weeks, you won't be on the medication anymore. And usually within, I always say, give me 90 days. But give us a call, you know, every time I'm on with George Norrie, or you can give us a call on the weekly Friday stuff that I do for George Norrie every Friday, Friday morning in Pacific time. It's 8 to 10. And give me a report, because we'll walk you through this, and this is all stuff that will go away very quickly, including the high blood pressure. How long have you had high blood pressure?
Oh, Doc, I have been on high blood pressure pills for maybe 20 years now.
Long time.
Give me 20 days, and the odds are you'll be off of high blood pressure medication.
And here's that number to call, John, in case you missed anything that Doc said. 1-855-949-7234. And, folks, don't forget the good old website, criticalhealthnews.com. Let's take another call before the break. Let's go to Tom in Florida. Welcome to the show. Hey, Tom, thanks for calling.
Yeah, good morning. I have a question on cholesterol and triglycerides, but first I'd just like to make a brief comment on gluten. That affects only 1% of the population, and as the doctor probably knows, it's a chronic digestive and immune disorder.
I'm going to stop you there for a minute because that's incorrect. The only people who are not gluten sensitive are dead people. Everybody is sensitive to gluten, okay? You have to appreciate that the people who do the best in the world health-wise are the Asians, because they live on rice and sweet potatoes and seaweed. They do not eat gluten. And that's why they live 15, 20 years longer than we do. Okay? So you can't say that only 1% of the people have gluten issues. No. Only 1% of the people are diagnosed with gluten issues by medical doctors. Medical doctors are ignorant.
All right, Tom.
About the HLA-DQ2 and HLA-DQ8 gene tests. Determine if there's a problem with the gluten.
Oh, it's very simple, okay? It's very simple to tell if you have a gluten issue. I just find out, do they have white hair? White hair is not due to age. It's due to nutritional deficiencies. And you're 12 years old and you got white hair. You're 25 years old, you got white hair. It's not age, it's due to nutritional deficiency. You have a gluten issue. Asthma is secondary to gluten. Lupus. There's no such thing as an autoimmune disease. Lupus is a gluten issue, okay, and you cannot absorb nutrition, and so you wind up with all these skin issues, rosacea on the face and psoriasis and all that kind of stuff. All those things are due to gluten, so you cannot absorb nutrition, and gluten is a terrible thing. We should box up all the gluten in America, all the products are made from wheat, barley, rye, and oats, and give it to the medical system.
A lot of kids are allergic to gluten, too, aren't they?
Well, there's an allergy, but there's gluten sensitivity, which is not an allergy. Gluten is a very irritating substance. It has all kinds of chemicals in it, naturally, that actually kill your lining of your intestine. Your intestine should look like a shag rug. All the finger-like villi increase your absorptive surface by 98%, which is 3 to 6 months on gluten. Your intestine will look like a plastic tube. You lose 90% of your absorptive surface. And many people will not show a gluten-positive test, even though they don't have any villi left in their intestines. Okay? And they have celiac disease. They have Crohn's disease. They have diverticulitis. And I have to tell you that everybody with osteoporosis of the skull and everybody with MS, multiple sclerosis, has celiac disease. So you know they have a gluten problem. And I'm going to eliminate MS, multiple sclerosis, within weeks. I already know the cause, prevention, and cure of MS now is not an autoimmune disease. And again, as I said earlier in the show, medical doctors have given up using the term autoimmune. They're now going with metabolic syndrome, okay, because they know I'm going to get them if they keep talking about autoimmune. They know I'm going to get them if they keep talking about genetics. There are no genetically transmitted diseases. I proved that by getting rid of cystic fibrosis, by getting rid of muscular dystrophy, and the mothers weren't laying on the babies, which doctors said. Everybody believed in. The mothers were laying on the babies. I don't know how many thousands of women committed suicide because their families were after them because they laid on their babies and suffocated their babies. That wasn't true.
Oh, horrible stuff.
All the babies were dying in the cribs. I'm the one that made them change the name to crib death because the babies were dying in the cribs. They weren't being laid on by their mothers.
Doc, when we come back after the top of the hour, I'll talk about Tom's question about cholesterol, and then we'll take more of your phone calls next hour on Coast to Coast. Tom's got a whole group of text and tweets for you, too.